KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's always good to have guests come back, and especially a guest who's always been so great to us. My guest is director Jay Roach, who first came here with the, oh my God, was it the first of the Austin Powers movies you were here for?
I think it was the first time.
Then you came back for Meet the Parents, and now you've just done a really interesting and different new film for HBO, Recount, about the 2000 presidential election and the, more importantly, the controversy about the vote count in the state of Florida.
First of all,
Jay, thanks so much for coming back.
Oh, it's great to be here. I've always had fun on the show.
This is a very different kind of movie for you because it's, I've never been as aware of faces. It's almost like watching a series of photographs as I was in watching this movie.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, we thought about what adjustments we would make when you were shooting something for television. And I did use more close-ups, you know, and obviously the cast lent themselves to that. I mean, you have Kevin Spacey and Tom Wilkinson and Laura Dern and Bob Balaban and Ed Begley. And I, you know, so much of what was going on in their characters was in faces. And I think it's also, for me, I was trying to explore techniques that are a little bit more about drama and suspense. And I think in comedy, sometimes you sort of hold back a little bit to see gestures, and comedy likes wider shots and even full, you know, head to toe shots if there's a fair amount of body language. But, you know, there's a shot in the film when Kevin Spacey is finally, you know, trying to convince Al Gore not to concede. And he at the last second, he just leaned forward and grabbed the telephone, and the operator was so quick. He just tilted down to the telephone and tilted right back up to this giant close-up of Kevin Spacey in this moment of desperation. I thought that's amazing. You know, I mean, it just faces tell it all in drama sometimes.
But it's interesting because it's certainly a comedic touch to this. I mean, it's a drama with a touch of the absurd. I mean, this cast, but it makes me wonder though, because you've never done a piece, a real life piece before.
Yeah. You know, did I mention I'm not that funny as a person?
I always say that every time you come here.
You know, I love making comedies. I love making people laugh. There's nothing better than sitting in a theater and watching people lose their minds, lose control of their bodies for a little while. But I guess I've always hoped I would get a chance to make a film that connected to other emotions and ideas. I think the film actually it tries to say something, and something that really mattered to me. So it was a great opportunity.
It follows the two sides, both the Republican and Democratic parties, and the campaigns, the Gore and the Bush campaigns, fighting it out.
Right.
And it's interesting to make a movie about which we know the outcome.
Yeah, that's always the challenge, isn't it, for that kind of a film? I mean, I really studied United 93. The Paul Greengrass film, and you'll definitely see the influence in our film and the way I shot it, where you know exactly what's going to happen, but it's almost for a little bit like you feel like it might end differently, you know, this time. And people say that about watching when they watch our film. Some people do, I guess, depending on which side of the situation you ended up on. But, you know, for me, it was about creating suspense about how it was going to happen and why it happened and what motivated these people, what forces pulled them into this kind of a conflict. And particularly when it's something you care so much about. I mean, I really believe in democracy, and I think voting is, you know, the fundamental building block of how democracy works. So if you wake up, you know, I mean, I remember staying up all night election night in 2000 and just almost astonished that it wasn't working. It wasn't going to, you know, and then through those 36 days, it wasn't working. People's votes were thrown out. 175,000 people showed up to vote in Florida along with the rest of the 6 million and had their votes completely discarded.
It's The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell talking to returning guest Jay Roach, known from the Austin Powers films as a director, and Meet the Parents and Meet the Fockers. His new film for HBO is Recount. Let's talk about the cast, though. Like you said, you've got Kevin Spacey, you've got Laura Dern, you've got Bob Balaban, you've got Tom Wilkinson, you've got Ed Begley. You've got a group of people who it seemed to be there's a love of acting in this movie.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I've always got from you is that you really do love letting actors play things out.
Yeah, I really do love actors. It's interesting. And you know, Bruce McGill, too, one of my favorites, too, was also in the film. And a number of other amazing...
It's funny, if you see Bruce McGill in this movie, you wonder if D-Day would have grown up to be this guy. This person he would have become after surviving the Animal House.
That's right. Yeah, that's an interesting heritage he brings to it. But he, you know, all those guys were just... they came at it with this ensemble thing. There were 100 speaking parts. It wasn't just those names you mentioned. There were a lot of other people, many of them from Florida too. And the casting part to me is always the most exciting and obviously has the most to do with how the film is going to turn out. And it, you know, these, the trick was that all of these characters are alive today. And so the challenge was finding people that would evoke, you know, in some cases, famous people. Tom Wilkinson's playing James Baker, who everybody knows, who would also be the most exciting person to play that part. So when he comes on the screen, when Tom comes on, you can sort of feel people get excited, and he completely captured who James Baker was.
Oh, yeah, John Hurt as Warren.
And John Hurt as Warren Christopher, you know, absolutely. And Laura Dern as Catherine Harris, which was in a certain way the biggest transformation of the film, because Laura doesn't really look all... She's not the first person
not even
you
close.
Think of. Yeah. And Laura and I worked a long time on the look, because I think Catherine Harris is one of the more interesting characters in the piece, because as much as anyone in that story, she found herself, you know, in way over her head to some extent. And I always felt sorry for her. You know, I was upset by, you know, the idea of someone who had been part of the Bush campaign also then taking over an impartial recount. You know, just didn't seem right. No matter which side you're on, it just didn't seem quite right.
And what's interesting, I didn't mean to interrupt, but...
Yeah, sure.
Because you kind of forget a little bit. When this thing's playing out for the Supreme Court, you always thought, well, the Supreme Court was going to have to say something about her, and they never did.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? You would think that... And since then, a lot of the reforms have been about making it so people who are that partisan can't be involved in recounts anymore. But she was under so much stress and I think overcompensated in a certain way in her look and her demeanor. And
made it about her vanity. Made an attack on her personally rather than this whole thing.
She really saw herself as a great leader in almost like a fairy tale way, stepping up and taking the stage. And she seized it. And yet it came off as sort of forced a little bit and a little odd, you know, and... so that was in some ways, the most difficult choice tonally, is how far to push the eccentricity of that with
but
Laura.
But you do that by, I mean, because it's, and the one thing that so many of you things have been about, you can go back to Mystery Alaska, is the relationship that we have as Americans have to the media.
Yeah.
And that's very much a part of this, because you show almost the backstage version of her, and then she changes her posture and she looks straight ahead and she puts on this lemon sherbet smile and walks into a room.
That's I'm glad you spotted that, because it's one of my favorite moments in the film. The soundtrack kind of disappears and you hear the tension in her breathing as she just exhales, and it kind of flutters a little bit. And you know she's just, you know, just let me get through this. I know it's my moment on the stage. And sure enough, she finds that power and turns, and the cameras go off, and she goes out and, you know, certifies the election for George W. Bush, brings it in for a landing, as it says in the film. So,
we're talking to director Jay Roach. His new film on HBO is Recount. But what's fascinating to me is that you chose, in an interesting way, to not really show the faces of Bush and Gore. You show everybody else's face.
Yeah, and that was Danny Strong's. That was in the script. It was a scripted choice, and I thought Danny made a series of great decisions that were all about the scope of the film. It was a kind of epic event by the time it all unraveled. Thousands and thousands of people were involved in Washington and, you know, Austin and every place across the country. But we wanted to tell as the story, the essence of it, sort of like you were telling the story of a war from the battle that a few people fought in one particular part of the war. And it sort of lent itself to that, because Florida was a geographically contained area. It did happen over a fixed amount of time. And it did turn out to be this mano a mano between Ron Klain, this relatively unknown lawyer, formerly Al Gore's chief of staff, and one of the most formidable political figures, you know, in our culture here, James Baker. Certainly others were involved, Warren Christopher and Bill Daley and a bunch of other people who were down there on the ground. But slowly they all kind of had to go off, and Ron Klain had to step up and take that on and sort of rise to the occasion. And so Danny sort of chose to focus on those characters in that particular place, and therefore, you know, kind of not having the big players, obviously Bush and Gore, be down there. And by the way, people may not realize, but neither of them was ever in Florida during that entire 36-day recount process. So it made sense, and it also enabled us to use footage of the actual guys from the archival footage. And as you can see, there's a ton of archival footage, so we wanted to be able to do that.
It's funny because it's on such a large scale, and you mentioned United 93, but of course for a lot of us too, the other film that this will brings to mind is All the President's Men.
Well, I hesitate to be in that league, but it certainly was a film we looked at to try to capture it. And I think partly what it may have in common with that is the sense of trying to keep a fight going when you feel alone with it. And the film is told from Ron Klain's point of view. It certainly tries to capture some of the arguments from the Republican side and some of their sense of predicament with Tom Wilkinson playing James Baker and Bob Balaban playing Ben Ginsburg and all that. But there is the thing I related with was this guy, Ron Klain, who just really believed when people vote, their votes should count. When there is a recount, you should recount. And he just had those simple motivations. And yet there was so much chaos. There was division within his own party about how to approach this. He was occasionally being sort of held back by the Gore team and by Al Gore himself.
Who really wanted to try to keep as much decorum as possible.
Exactly. And Christopher and Gore, I think, both felt that, and I relate with the idea that a recount should be a dignified process. It's actually, you know, a noble and honorable approach to it. And I don't think, sometimes I'm a little worried that the film almost proves the point that the way to win is to have people pounding on the glass outside of the recount, you know, room. That the street fighter is ultimately due to be the victor, and I identified with you know the some of the lines that Warren Christopher said in the film that it's important once in a while to put country above party. However, there is a time to stand up for what you think is right, and Ron Klain, you know, did, and he was somewhat not alone in the fight, but having talked a lot with him about it, he felt alone sometimes, and that anxiety of that suspense of that sort of David Goliath matchup, you know, when you're not being completely supported by everybody around you and taking on that fight, but you also can see that they were ill-equipped in a certain way. To go at it in a state run by the president's, you know, the candidate's brother, and having Catherine Harris, who had been a co-chair of his campaign, and a number of other disadvantages they faced. And I, you know, it was good. It was just when I read that script, I mean, Danny wrote this amazing script. I just couldn't put it down, and I'd lived through it, you know, every moment of it back then. I was glued to CNN throughout that process, and yet I still just couldn't wait to see how it all evolved, detail by detail.
That's perfect. We should take a break. My guest is director Jay Roach. His new film on HBO is Recount. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment. More to come.
Shake it, don't break it.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment. My guest is director Jay Roach. I like to think of him as being a friend of the show. He's been good to us. His new film on HBO.
Like home.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to hear you say that. His new film is Recount on HBO. One of the things, though, that struck me about the film, too, as compared to the other films, is there is a sense of home where people are trying to get to a home in your other movies. And this is the first time I have a sense of people feeling not at home. Most of the film takes place in offices, so nobody really lives anywhere. You know, it's all about trying to get this job done.
Yeah, that's interesting. I remember we just kept scouting offices after, you know, everywhere we went, it was about offices. And one of the interesting things about the Recount is most of the people who were the players were sort of parachuted into the state and had to set up offices quite quickly. So when you're in the Democratic headquarters, their first office is literally a rented, you know, space in a strip mall. But the story was that it's not depicted this way in our film, but it was between a hair salon for people and a hair salon for dogs. And they had the space in between. And we, you know, they were dropped in the middle of the night. I think they got there at like 5 in the morning and were, you know, paper boxes and phones just running cords everywhere. And even little touches, like we tried to just have it, that there was always someone in the background on a ladder trying to run an internet cable or a phone line because they were always temporary. You know, they landed there thinking the next day we'll bring the court case, the court decision that settles this and we can all go home. And instead they kept having to you know, to keep patching together some kind of functional, efficient operation. Meanwhile, the Republicans were in the Bush building, literally the George, you know, the dad, George Bush office that was the Republican outfit there. And they were all completely set up. So part of what the story was for me was finding a way to let the audience know, okay, when we cut here and you see chaos of people running with cables and just trying to stitch together any means of functionality, that's the Democrats. When you cut over here and it's quiet and peaceful and you're in this beautiful conference room, that's the Republicans. And only because they just were set up and it was a state run by that side. Not to try to, you know, necessarily make a comment other than just that one side was prepared and one side just wasn't. You know, it was more about trying to keep the suspense of being off balance. You know, that thing of just you can't ever quite get your footing, and yet you're supposed to wage this battle, you know, for the leader of the free world and be on top of it and be composed, and you just can't, you know, find a stapler, or you can't get the phones to patch you the right line. And that's what I was trying to tell that story.
No, it's key to that. And I almost makes you wonder, in some ways, it's got to be like setting up a movie production office somewhere.
And just like... You remind us of that, because I remember Ron Klain said to me, it just occurred to me that you're leaving your family, being parachuted into Florida. You're going to be stuck there for almost exactly the same amount of time, about 40 days. And by the way, on the exact dates, we shot some of the scenes, the scene at the Clark Center where at Miami-Dade when the so-called
protest.
Brooks Brothers mob thing happened. Literally, we shot at the exact, you know, anniversary of that event. And it kept happening over and over. It was one of the great things about shooting in Florida, by the way, which I you know, sort of facetiously say has become the theme park for election reform. You have, you know, Disney, Orlando, and then you have, you know, Tallahassee, where people are just trying to figure out how to get votes to count. And almost everyone you talk to has an incredible story or is in the middle of you know, we wandered into a city council meeting at one of the locations there in Jacksonville where we shot most of the film. And they were having a huge argument about touchscreen machines for handicapped people. While we're scouting locations and wandering around with light meters, they're in there, you know, arguing about just how to make democracy work a little better by getting the votes to count more efficiently.
It's The Treatment. My guest is director Jay Roach. His new film for HBO is the story of the 2000 presidential election recount. I guess I find myself thinking, and why you chose to do a film like this that's so much about no room. I mean, it's really claustrophobic. I mean, you feel like you sort of can't breathe, and there's all this bad light, too. I mean, you know, it's all these things that are very kind of antithetical to what you do as a director.
Fluorescent light is just inhuman, I find, you know, generally. And yet, again, it's what you were saying, that, you know, if you want people to feel less than comfortable, in whatever predicament they're in, you know, just shoot it with harsh fluorescent light and you're there, you know, and all the President's Men, you know, actually we studied the lighting in that film.
Because you actually hear the buzz of lights
on
the President's
Men. Yeah, exactly. And we snuck that in a few times here too. And again, just the chaos of that and the not feeling settled was what I wanted the audience to experience, because it is an anxiety dream. I often use that as a reference because, you know, it should be something you can count on. It's an institution that we trust. And when you wake up and say, oh, it's fragile. It's so fragile that, you know, it's actually in this case, it was way into genuinely dysfunctional. How's that going to work? You know, what we're supposed to be able to know at the end of an election night, who's the president. And if we can't, And then it's the next day and 5 days. And now, you know, the Supreme Court in Florida can't agree with the United States Supreme Court. Whoa, how's this going to work? I wanted to put us back in that position, all of us, in the, you know, who see the film, who lived through it, of the discomfort. Because we forgot. After 9/11, it almost was inappropriate to bring up the question of legitimacy in the election. George Bush was very popular and you know, we needed to be behind our leader, and so people didn't want to think about the election. I remember when some of the books came out, Jeffrey Toobin, who was one of our consultants, you know, I heard on Fresh Air, she asked if he even thought it was appropriate to be coming out with a book at this time about the recount, you know. So I'm glad to put people along from Ron Klain's point of view in that harsh fluorescent lighting, in those inhospitable offices in the middle of, from his point of view, in the middle of nowhere, fighting, you know, just to get those votes counted.
There are a lot of things in this script that clearly play to your strengths, which is the pride that people take in expressing themselves, you know, that people talk in your movies, and there's a kind of intellectual vanity or at least an ego investment in everything they say.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I love the press conferences. You know, you hear James Baker, who's a master of it. I'm telling you that I got to meet him, and you believe anything he says. He could tell you anything. And you know, I actually think he's an interesting guy and not, you know, so he you can talk to him. You know, you can actually have a long discussion with him. I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, but I do enjoy talking to him. And then the private conversations where people are just, you know, like talking about it, like we're talking. And that's when my, what I do, you know, do in comedy films kind of helped. Like with Dennis Leary and Kevin Spacey, when they go and they, you know, they have the kind of semi-public discussion with Warren Christopher about what to do with the recount, and Christopher's making the point about the whole world's watching, and you know, we should keep this a dignified process. Dennis Leary as Michael Hooley, a really interesting guy, and Kevin as Ron Klain, walk into the alley and just go off, and you just have two of the best actors ever. Dennis is one of the funniest improvisers you can find. And we had to stick tight to the script because there's so much information about chads and dimple chads and punch cards. And yet he found a tone with Kevin. They're like
And they worked together before.
Yeah, they're like...
In the ref.
Yes, absolutely. And they have an almost, you know, Mathal Lemon kind of repartee. And so I just let him go. And a very dry expositional scene turned into something that was really enjoyable.
It's The Treatment. We're talking to Jay Roach about his new film, Recount, on HBO. I just wonder, though, I mean, because there are a lot of enticements, you know, a film that's set in an almost absurdist kind of real event that must be really enticing, but there must have been things that really scared you about it, too, because it's just so different from the stuff you've done before.
Well, it was also, I always thought when I did a serious film, it would be something very carefully thought out and, you know, a script that had been worked over. And I got the gig exactly 8 weeks from a locked start date. There was an incentive thing from Florida. If you shoot in hurricane season, you get an extra 5%. So I'm like, oh, is that a good thing? You know, why are we racing to hit that deadline? But we did. And at exactly 8 weeks to cast 100 people, scout places for 200 scenes. Meanwhile, learn as much as I could about the history of what happened. Because we were really determined to get it right. We had a point of view. We were doing it from this guy's point of view, but we wanted it to be fair. We were never sure it would be balanced because it was always going to be from that guy's character. But we wanted to make sure, and Danny interviewed, I think, 40 people. I fully immersed myself, and I stuck him in the chair next to me for the entire process. He's an amazing collaborator. But, you know, not someone you would expect would come up with such a really richly researched script. And we hired the four consultants who were Jeffrey Toobin, David Kaplan, David von Drehle, and Jake Tapper, who had written four great books. And again, like Ron said, it was almost like living through the recount, again, with Floridians, you know, around you. We shot in the actual Florida Supreme Court, out in front and inside, you know, exactly where those battles took place. And we shot all over Tallahassee for a week and then the rest in Jacksonville. But it was, for me, the challenge was to make a film with that was so where the story was so fresh in people's minds, they remembered every detail of it, and all of those living people, you know, would speak up. We knew after the film came out, so I had to not only make it suspenseful and a good story, but I had to be faithful to, you know, a lot of detail. We screened it just recently in Washington, and in the room, it was David Boyce and Ben Ginsberg and Ron Klain, and I was waiting for them to somebody just, you know, throw down a towel and say that's it, this is crap, you know, or something. And they stayed and watched it, so I guess we got away with it.
But I wonder if you partially feel, in looking back on it now, that it was best to make it under those kind of circumstances where you had to just move as quickly as possible and not be too over deliberate about it.
And it enabled me to shoot handheld with multiple cameras and to say to the actors, don't think about where the cameras are. You'll never be able to figure it out anyway. In some cases, they'll be far away with long lenses. And so don't have that front and center thing of, we'll find you. You know, let me work with you on the scene. I'm not even going to talk to the camera guys much. I'm going to be right there, you know, next to the master shot camera. But most of the best shots in the film may come from angles you're not even aware of. And that was exciting. You know, I shot a ton of footage, Super 16, you know, not video. We had to stop. But the actors just were in character. And I remember thinking 40 days. Some days we shot 8 scenes in a day. And I thought, okay, let me get this straight. I'm going to have Kevin Spacey, Tom Wilkinson, John Hurt, Dennis Leary, all these amazing Laura Dern. And I'm going to say, cut. Run, the other set's over there where we should have been shooting half an hour ago. You know, I'm going to say to these Academy Award nominated actors, you know, follow me. And you know what? I was following them. They were running. You know, they got the pressure of it. And that's what I mean by, you know, it was just one of the most exciting things to be part of.
Well, it's always exciting to have you here. Thanks so much for doing this, Jay.
Oh, thank you, Elvis. It's always great. You make it easy and fun, man.
Please, anytime you come back, please do.
Thanks, man. Thanks, I'll be back.
This time he's here for the film Recount, which is on HBO this month. Our recording engineer at NPR West is Theo Mondal. Bob Carlson is the editor. Gemma Dempsey is the producer. Don't bend those chads. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. For questions and comments about The Treatment, please email us at thetreatment@kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.